Church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing you is no lie. Later, I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. You know, one of my great joys in life, and I imagine the same is true for you, is to see people's aha moments. You know, that moment when your child, when a friend, when a coworker, when a neighbor, somebody you care about, when they get it. You know what I'm talking about? One of the things that's been a challenge for me over the past year has been called Common Core Math. Parents, are you familiar with this? Yeah, it makes me feel like I was good at math, and right now I don't feel like I'm good at math. I'm having to learn how to do math in a completely different kind of way. And to see my little girl, Sarah, when she gets how to do math, when she figures out a problem, the joy that comes to her face, I mean, that's a cool moment. It's a great moment. Or like when Luke and I go play golf and I say, hey, put the ball about 2 inches further in front of your stance. And he looks at me like, what's an inch? But he puts it up in his stance a little further and he tries to hit it as far as he can. And when it goes far, he gets excited and that gets me excited. When we have these aha moments all the time, I mean, some of the best moments in my life is to come alongside somebody and help them see how it is that God is at work in their life. And you, many of you have probably experienced the same kind of thing. I mean, I live for that. It's like watching somebody come to life. And I think our scripture today explains why this aha moment is so important, because it's connected to God's work, and we call that work revelation. Revelation, not the book of Revelation, but God's work revelation, in which God reveals to us something about himself, some kind of information, some sort of feeling, some sort of desire. In the great desire is ultimately that we would know God. In fact, the word revelation literally means an unveiling, an uncovering, or a sharing. And we experience all kinds of different revelation in life. Right? I mean, a revelation of how to do a math problem is one kind of revelation. Revelation of how to hit a better golf shot, another kind of revelation. Revelation that this product will work better for me versus that product. But the kind of revelation we're talking about is God's revelation. And what's different about that is revelation is not so much a bit of information. Revelation is about God revealing himself to us. Here's who I am. This is what I'm like. This is what I've done. This is what I have yet to do. When God reveals something to us, really what he's giving us is a picture of himself. Here's who I am. Here's what I'm like. And we have all sorts of different sources of revelation. I mean, the Bible, there's a great source of revelation. Prayer, great source of revelation. Inviting somebody to be a part of church. Revelation, serving, revelation of showing God's love for somebody else. I mean, we have all kinds of revelation when it comes to God, and we experience God through revelation. And whether you know it or not, this happens every day of your life. We call it history. History is revelation. History is ultimately God revealing himself to us all throughout time. In fact, when Moses writes, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The very first book in the Bible, you're like, okay, great. That was one of the most powerful, profound, revealing events that had happened in human history to date. Because what Moses was saying is life creation, everything has a beginning. And if everything has a beginning, therefore it must have an end. But more importantly, each event is unique. Each event has some kind of meaning. Each event has some kind of purpose. And ultimately, the purpose is that God has created all of this for us to know Him, to live for Him, to share or reveal the truth of who He is. That the creature would know its creator. Revelation, powerful. And I can see already this morning you're saying, wow, Brian, that's really great and super deep, but it's raining outside and it's March 1st. Like, you need to wait till May and a sunny day to hit us with some of this stuff. Make it a little bit easier for us. What are you talking about with Revelation? Maybe here's some great examples. Revelation, in a nutshell, think of it as God's selfie to us. Yes? It's like a selfie. And I know most of you know what a selfie is, right? I'm going to take a picture of myself, and usually it's with some funny pair of pursed lips, which I've never quite figured out why that's the selfie picture that you want to go to. Clearly, that is not the look that God goes for when we're talking about Revelation, but Revelation is God's selfie to us. Here's who I am. Here's what I'm like. You might also think of Revelation as a bit like a podcast. Right? In a podcast, there's speaking, there's listening, there's a conveyance of information that happens. Here's truth. Here's hope. Here's desire. You might think of it like a blog. How many blogs do you read every day? Newspaper? There's a blog. It's not electronic, but it's a blog. Bible? Best blog God ever gave to us. Here's who I am. Here's what I'm like. Obviously, we would call the Bible more than a blog, so nobody freaks out this morning. But it's the same concept, right? A blog is a conveyance of information. It's a certain kind of revelation. And so we believe that the Scriptures have an even, perhaps we might say it, more special kind of revelation, and that it's a revelation that God gives us. The point that I want to make is this, that God's always longing to reveal Himself to us, and Revelation is that history of God saying, here's who I am, here's what I've done, here's what I long for you, revealing to us the truth and the meaning of all of life. Folks, even our education, it's a revealing process, is it not? It's a process of revelation. You start when you're like zero, you know? I figure out very quickly that if I cry hard enough, these people come running for me. Revelation, yes? And then I start to learn how to use words. And I start to learn how to use my emotions or facial expressions. And I realize at a very young age, if I act this way and not that way, it might work out better for me. And then I go to school, and in school I begin to understand some of the greater laws of the universe. God is revealing Himself to me in all of these kinds of things. I mean, Paul says it like this. He says, we know in part and prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now realize, Paul's talking about love here. And you might recognize this passage of Scripture, some of you, if you've watched The Wedding Crashers or you've been to a wedding, because this passage from 1 Corinthians 13 is usually read at weddings because it's about love. It's not really about the love between a man and a woman. It's the revelation of God's love for us, which is the source of all of love. And what Paul is saying is ultimately this. When I was a kid, I did all things like a kid, but when revelation has come, when I become a man, I put all of that stuff behind me. And he goes on to say, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully even as I am fully known. So there's part of me now that can grasp how awesome, how powerful, how wonderful, how deep, how wide God's great love for me is. And the more and more God reveals Himself to me, the more and more I gain the depth of perspective about how great His love and grace truly are. And folks, this happens throughout our lives until graduation day. What's graduation day? It's the day that we see God face to face. When the end of time comes and the dead are raised, there's no more need for revelation. Why? Because we see and know God fully, as God can be fully known. God is the one doing the revealing. That's the key piece of revelation. God is the one doing the revealing, not us. And what he's been revealing, the reason we're going into all this, what he's been revealing to the Galatians is this: I'm for you, I'm not against you. I want a relationship with you. I don't want the grind of your religious heavy lifting. I've done it all by grace for you. You don't need to earn it, can't buy it. All you have to do is receive this grace. I mean, ultimately, we see that revelation in Jesus himself, don't we? The grace of God, that God would become flesh, that he would become like you and I, that he would walk this earth and struggle as we do and hurt as we do, and ultimately that he would die for our sins and be raised from the dead to reveal to us that at the end of our lives, that's not the end. That God still has a great life, a new life, resurrection life for us, for all of eternity. I think the good news about revelation is this, that you don't have to guess how God feels about you. All you have to do is watch and listen and learn. And Paul says, I've received this grace. It happened to me one day on the road to Damascus. I was going to persecute the church, but... And there's always a big but, isn't there? But then I encountered the grace of Jesus Christ. And so if there were one thing that I'd love for you to apply, to put into your heart, your mind, your life today, it is this, that revelation is not something that God does to us. It's something that God longs to reveal in us and then through us. Not just to us, but in us and then through us. God wants grace to be revealed not just to us, but grace to be revealed in us and then through us. Because at the end of the day, folks, look, grace is bigger than you and me. Grace is bigger than us. And I think God is longing for everybody to have that aha kind of moment in their life. And perhaps even better said, not just once, but over and over and over again. Let's continue to worship this morning. Let's take this opportunity and we'll dismiss our kids to Revolution Kids Church. Now, if we trace Paul's life, what we find is that there are a few key changes that happen in him because of the revelation of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has come and revealed himself to him. And in fact, there is a before part to Paul, there is an after part to Paul. In fact, this is what we read here. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. What does he say next? But. See, there's the big but. You didn't believe me, but there it is. I mean, there's always a but. There's a before and there's an after, and in the middle, there's what? There's a but. What'd you remember today? What did your pastor talk about? Well, he talked about but. There we go. That's a big but right there. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his what? Grace, was pleased to do what? Reveal the Son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I immediately went into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. In other words, here's the deal, folks. Before Jesus reveals himself to Paul, Paul is what? He's a persecutor of the church. He's the flag man for executions for early Christians. He's zealous for the law. I mean, if it's not law, if it's not religious, hardcore sort of stuff, he doesn't want any part of it. But when Christ comes along, when Christ reveals himself in Paul's life, when Jesus says, you're the one, I'm the one, rather, that you're persecuting, what happens? Well, now he's a promoter. No longer is he zealous for the law, he's zealous for Jesus. And you see a complete transformation in his life. See, revelation changes us, if we'll allow it to. He didn't consult anybody. He didn't take a test. He didn't go get a membership card. He just left and he went and he told everybody about this revelation that happened in his life. I mean, we see this all throughout Scripture. I want you to think about the person Moses. Moses in the second book of the Bible, Exodus. The story of Moses is that Moses was born a Hebrew and ends up in the Pharaoh's palace. And it's revealed to him over time that Moses is actually a Hebrew. And he sees somebody beating a Hebrew slave and he says, "You can't do that." And he kills him. And so now the Pharaoh wants to kill Moses. Moses, he travels out into the wilderness. And what happens in the wilderness? God reveals himself to Moses in a burning bush. That's the but part. And after that experience of revelation, Moses heads back to Egypt. He tells the Pharaoh, "Let my people go." We see the same thing in Isaiah the prophet in the Old Testament. Isaiah's life was completely lackluster. Like he was a going nowhere sort of cause. And all of a sudden, Isaiah gets a vision of God on the throne. And when that happens, Isaiah will take on the world. He doesn't care. He'll take on kings. He'll take on queens. He'll take on false prophets. He'll take on anybody. Why? Because God had given them this revelation of who he truly is. Or we might think about James and John. One day in the New Testament period, they're sitting in a boat. They're fishing with their dad. Jesus rolls up on the seashore of Galilee and says, "James and John, come and follow me. I will make you fishers of men." Revelation. What do? They leave their father. They leave the boat. They leave everything they have, everything they know to go and follow Jesus, even to the point of death itself. When God reveals himself to us, it turns our lives upside down. Why? Because God doesn't want to just reveal something to you. He wants to reveal himself in you. And in order for him to reveal himself in you, it does turn life upside down. It changes your values, changes what you think, what you believe, how you'll spend your time, how you'll spend your money. It challenges everything that you know. I mean, we experience this so often in our culture with scientific breakthroughs. How many scientific breakthroughs do we see in a year anymore, right? Like 50? And when one comes and the news media reports it, what's the first thing that everybody says when there's a scientific breakthrough? Don't know about that. Right? I don't know if I believe that. I'm not sure. I'm not going to buy that. You know, that's just some guy in a lab and he's got to make some money. And so scientific breakthrough, I don't know, because I've always learned this. And I'm not sure how it matches with this scientific breakthrough. And then all of a sudden it begins to work on you. You go, maybe that scientific breakthrough is really true. What would that mean? Okay, well, yeah, I think that scientific breakthrough might be true. And so you begin to talk about it with family and friends and that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden you say, yeah, I think it's true. And so all of a sudden you begin to live in that way. And what's the most important thing you want to do with that bit of information that you've gotten? You want to share it. You want other people to know the truth. You have to do something with it. You go and share it. Folks, we do this all the time in our lives. We just probably wouldn't call it revelation. I mean, have you ever had the privilege of snooping on a ladies' bunco or book night? There is some serious revelation flying around that room, right? And it usually goes like this: you have to try this or have to do this. And everybody goes, "Really? Why?" And then usually you hear words like, "Well, it's changed my life," or "It's made things easier," or "Man, it's given me peace," or what have you. Guys, we do the same thing. You know, I'll sit down with some of my buddies, and one of them, they'll have gotten the latest new driver or whatever for their golf bag, and they'll say, "You've got to get it," right? And the foam coming out the mouth, and that all. Why? Oh, it's just changed everything. I mean, this is silly, because we're talking about products that really don't ultimately change our lives. But I mean, when God really gets a hold of us, when God reveals himself to us, when all of a sudden God gets really in our life, what do we want to do? We want to tell everybody all about it. I've been changed. Something about me is different. God touched me. God healed me. Paul goes to the world. The disciples, they die for their faith. And folks, this is what we've been talking all about, all along rather, is that grace transforms us. And when that grace transforms us, we're called to go and share our works to transmit God's grace to other people. I mean, if God's grace has really touched you, has really changed you, is really at work in your life, in you, why would you not go and share that with somebody else? Well, I haven't had that kind of revelation in my life. God would never do that for me. Are you sure? I mean, are you sure? Because God, it seems to me, if I read the scriptures or I look at the world around me, I think God's revealing himself all the time. We just don't necessarily expect it or accept it. We're sort of like those folks who go, breakthrough? I don't know. I got to check this out for a while. Let's talk about this for a while. Most of you have heard the corny story about the guy who lives in a floodplain, and all of a sudden one day a flood comes upon his house. And so he's standing there on the front porch and all the floodwaters are rising. And now there's people riding up and down the road in their canoes because there's so much water. And guy in a canoe comes by and says, "Hey, brother, it looks pretty bad. Rain's going to keep coming. Why don't you jump in my canoe and I'll take you to safety?" And the guy says, "No, God's going to show up." All right, cool. So floodwaters continue to rise. The man has to get on his roof because the water's filling his house. Man in a motorboat comes by. "Hey, buddy, this is going to keep getting worse. Why don't you jump in the boat? I'm going to take you to safety." "No way. God's going to show up." So finally, it gets so bad that the man jumps on top of his chimney because that's about the last piece of standing room he's got. And a helicopter comes by. "Sir, please get into the basket. If not, you're going to die." "Nope. God's going to show up." What happens? The man drowns. And so he gets to the pearly gates and he says to St. Peter, "Well, where was God?" And he says, "Well, what do you expect, dude? We sent you a canoe and a motorboat and a helicopter. Like, you know, hello? What's the story about?" The story's really about revelation. God showed up. It just wasn't in the form that the man expected. And how true is that for us? I mean, we go looking for God in burning bushes and on mountaintops. But burning bushes and mountaintops were for Moses and for the disciples. God's always speaking. The question is, how ready are we to hear? Or how willing are we to see him at work if it's in a way that we don't expect it or that we don't want it? And we miss out. We miss out on God speaking that grace into our lives. You know, last week we learned that the Galatians loved the grind of the heavy lifting of religion. They loved to earn it. They wanted to show it and do it and have all these rules and customs and rituals that left people frustrated. They missed revelation just as we can miss revelation because we're so consumed with the business of busyness. When God is speaking all along, "I'm right here. Don't need to earn my approval, can't buy it. I just want you to receive it." You know, during this season of Lent, we've asked you, don't do the give up chocolate thing, don't do the give up soda thing, which, I mean, if you've done that, great. I don't want to, you know, shipwreck your faith this morning kind of thing. But really, what our hope for you is this, that you would take the time to receive more grace and take the time to give more grace. To let God reveal himself to you by being active and looking and listening and watching and waiting and expecting God to do something. And because you've received grace, go and give grace to other people. So this is the third Sunday of Lent, and I figure it's about time for a check-in. So find some folks around you, find a new person, and say hey. And let's talk about those two things. Where are you receiving grace in your life? Where are you giving grace? We'll take a few moments and do that. Grace. You know, a confession to make. A couple weeks back, it was a long day and kind of a rough day at work, and I came home, and it was late, and Mandy and I, we were watching TV, and this commercial came on, and it completely wrecked me. I mean, and there's just like, you know, tears streaming down my face, and Mandy looks at me, and it was one of those League of Their Own moments, and she goes, "Are you crying?" I'm like, "No, I'm fine. I'm a tough guy, right?" Just completely just wrecked me. And I think you know, while the organization that puts the commercial on, I think it's an organization called Values or something like that, you know, it's not an overtly Christian message, but is every source of revelation necessarily an overtly Christian message? Not always. Now, do we need those sources in our lives? Absolutely. But God's always wanting to speak to us. God's always wanting to reveal himself to us. God transforms our lives so we can transmit his grace to other people. Let me help you with a huge stumbling block of grace. Are you ready? Repeat this with me. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's all about them. What do I mean? Well, who are them? Whoever needs grace. Whoever needs grace. Whoever needs grace, it's all about them. Grace has happened to us. Grace is happening in us, and therefore grace is needed in other people's lives. I mean, it's that simple. That's what happened to Paul. Paul was transformed, and so he left to transmit the grace of God to other people. How's grace been at work in your life? How are you sharing that grace with other people? Because too many people, I think, that they think that this life is just this great big race. And maybe to some degree it is. But what are you going to do if you get to the finish line and there's no one there to share it with? I mean, where's the grace in that? What I love about that video is that this child teaches us the grace of a bigger message. Yes, and look, I love to win. And I'm not good with everybody gets a ribbon and we're all winners. So that's just my own personal problem that I'm going to continue to work on. But what I love here is this child teaches us that there's something bigger happening than just this race. There's grace. Why do I say any of this? Because we're in the season of Lent. We're in the season of growth. And it's the time of year that we would hope there would be more guests filling in our church, not only our church, but every church, right? Because everybody needs grace. I need grace. You need grace. We need grace. The world could use plenty of grace. And yet the message so often of grace has to come from other sources because the church misses it. How often has it been that when somebody's down, Christians have the tendency to kick somebody while they're down rather than give them grace? In fact, in the last 50 years, our presentation of the good news has been while somebody's laying there suffering and hurting, they need to know how bad they are before they can know how good God is. What a load of baloney. It's about grace. When somebody's laying there in the dust of the earth, give them your hand and pull them up. And don't just give them your hand and pull them up, but share the grace of God that's happened to you. Don't need to hear how bad they are. They're already hurting enough. You've received grace at some point in your life, and I hope it's an ongoing process. But if you've received grace, then how are you going to give grace to other people? Because they need it just as much as you do. Be somebody's aha moment where you can reveal the grace and the love of God that God has for them in and through you. That's what it's all about. I mean, I love what Paul says at the last verse. He says, "And they praise God because of me." Now, some people interpret that to be, well, Paul is being kind of prideful here. I don't hear that at all. Because Paul's the one who's saying, look, grace happened to me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was a persecutor, but now I'm a promoter. I was zealous for the law, but now I'm zealous for Jesus. And when the grace of God happened in me so God could reveal it not only to me, but in me and then through me, people praise God because the revelation of God came to them. How are you going to help the revelation of God come to other people? You've received grace. Who can you give grace to? That's what it's all about. Let's pray.